I go first.
Okay.
Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Now that we're back recording in person, Patrick, should we order some pizza for later?
You go ahead, Jim. I filled up on cicadas earlier.
All right.
Just a bowl full of them.
Okay, Patrick, we are out on the deck again today.
It's
the back
deck.
It is
a here.
Beautiful day.
Oh, my God.
And we got Shadow sort of wandering around. Mm-hmm. And
protecting us.
It's sunny, but we have nice shade. And it's not too hot.
Mm-mm.
It's really good. Really nice.
It's a beautiful, beautiful day.
Tomorrow, we're going to a Nationals game. I mean,
it's incredible.
It's going to be
a big group.
We feel so alive, don't we?
We really do.
It's amazing. So we're back together recording in person instead of on Zoom,
mm-hmm,
and all of that. And but anyway, here on Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
The thing I wanted to mention to the listeners, I want to see if you know, since we're outside, if they can hear this. No, they couldn't. Mm-hmm. You know why?
Because it's not really there.
It's not there yet.
Yeah.
So what I'm talking about is, and we've teased this a bit
in
recent episodes, mm-hmm, is the supposed invasion of 17-year cicadas that we're supposed to get here in the mid-Atlantic. And there have been sightings, there have been reports, and apparently you can talk about where you live. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a bigger deal, but so far, not a single cicada sighting here where I live.
Wow.
In my suburb. But what about you?
Yes, we've had quite a few. There are certain pockets. We haven't had a ton in our yard, but in our neighborhood, just walking around the neighborhood, walking the dogs and stuff, there are some houses where there are just tons. And I mainly have seen them near older trees where they've sort of emerged from the ground. They drop their shell, and then they go up the tree, prepare for whatever it is they're going to do.
They molt.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And you see these piles of the shells everywhere, kind of in one spot.
Yeah.
And we're starting to get that hum in the trees.
Is that
like
right?
That low hum. Yeah. So a lot of the older trees around in our neighborhood, it seems like that's probably where they're headed.
I mean, I assume we'll get here at some point.
Oh,
because,
I think so. Yeah.
Every year we have a certain number. Like every year we hear cicadas to a certain extent.
Yeah.
It's just that this year is supposed to be the really big
brood.
So I would assume that it'll happen here, but it hasn't yet. Nothing yet.
I think it will.
I'll keep you posted.
Yeah. And
I may call you in the middle of the night.
Yeah, let me know if you're screaming.
Yes, yes, yes.
And in general, you know, I think as the soil gets warmer, they begin to emerge. So, and you guys are pretty decent amount west from us. I mean, it's generally like sometimes it'll snow out here and it won't do anything in Falls Church. So it's definitely a little cooler climate out here.
Yes. Okay.
But anyway, it is the summer of insects.
It is. And so you said, let's do insect songs
today. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Right. So I linked us up yesterday with Butterfly, and there's a lot more insect songs when you say in general, Jim, when you go out there and look, than there are about dogs. And insects, man, there's a lot more different kinds of insects.
Well, there is that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it.
There may be. In fact, within I may be totally making this up, but I'm just going to, you know, say it. Within the animal kingdom, I think there may be more insects than any other
probably
type, mm-hmm, of animal, right?
I would think you're right. I mean, I think there's just zillions of them.
I think
that
so.
We don't even know about.
That's right.
We can't even see. They're so small.
That's right.
Yeah,
I think that's
lace
true.
Wings, whatever those are. So I know people listen to this podcast, they probably say, oh, this is going to be so easy. I know what Patrick's going to choose. He's going to go right for Ant Music by Adam and the Ants. But no, that's not what I'm going to pick. The song I want to play, Jim, is by Modest Mouse.
Uh-huh.
And it is on by far my favorite Modest Mouse album, and what I consider to be the best Modest Mouse album for my money, The Lonesome Crowded West. And the song is called Doing the Cockroach.
Talking back, please be shut up.
All right.
There it is. This album is fantastic. If you guys don't know, The Lonesome Crowded West by Modest Mouse, it came out in 97. It was the last one before they signed to a major label. And again, you were talking about Fever Dreams, but Johnny Marr was in the band for a while. Didn't that happen? That was bizarre.
I know.
I got to say, I liked a few tracks here and there after this, but to me, this is like their peak, their classic summation of their early period. And Teeth Like God Shoe Shine is on this, Convenient Parking, Trailer Trash, Cowboy Dan. It's an amazing, amazing record. And of course, you can't, you know, the first track, you know, the mention of Orange Julius is extremely important, I think, in suburban rock and roll history. But I had the misfortune of living in an apartment for a short period of time that did have a cockroach problem. And if you ever got up in the middle of the night to get a drink of water or something, you turn the lights on, it was one of those, I'm afraid to look. Yeah. And
I had that much earlier in life, yes, as well. Yes.
Just for a short time. And the end of this song, Doing the Cockroach, where they really get the harmonics and the whammy bar cooking, it's got that creepy kind of feeling to it, that, you know, that creepy crawly, the inside of your skin feeling you get when you see a bunch of bugs together. So that, I love the song, but I also thought it was a good pick for that reason.
Good point. Yeah. Good point. The music sort of goes along with it. Yeah,
without
for sure.
A doubt. It's a twitchy, fidgety kind of an album. It's great.
Can I tell you that as a kid from Ohio, my first internship that I had when I was in college, summer internship that I was in college, was in Pensacola, Florida.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
And it was a great summer because I got to spend the summer at the beach and I loved it.
That's awesome.
But I had to rent a cheap apartment for the summer, you know, whatever I could get, right? That was cheap, that I could afford, and also would just be available for like 3 months or whatever, right?
Right.
And I ended up getting this apartment that was over by the Naval Air Station.
Ooh.
And which is a big deal in Pensacola. But anyway, my point is, have you ever heard of palmetto bugs?
No.
Okay, that's a Florida thing.
Okay. I know they grow them big in Florida.
They're basically cockroaches that fly.
Oh, yuck.
So think about that. And there were some of those in the apartment.
Oh, man, is that right?
Yes. Ugh. I had to fumigate the apartment myself.
Oh, did you really?
Yes. I just got one of those bug bombs and went to work. Right. You know what I mean?
Yep. Fired it up, didn't come back for about 48 hours.
But the first time I encountered flying cockroach, I'm like, where am I?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm
going to go sleep on the beach.
Part of the internship. Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, that makes my skin crawl.
All right. Well, this song I'm going to start off with is a much friendlier bug.
Okay.
Okay. Much friendlier insect. The kind of insect that you might even, when you're a little kid, go out and capture some of them and put them in a jar with some holes in the lid.
Oh, okay.
Some grass.
Yeah.
And think that they're like pets of yours.
Yeah.
And this song is called Fireflies. Okay, I don't know if you're familiar with that song. That is the band Owl City.
No, I've never heard it before. It's wonderful.
2009, this apparently was a number one hit, by the
way. No way, really?
It was.
Wow.
And the reason I picked this was because it came out in 2009.
Okay.
My kids loved this song.
Did they really? I can see that.
And they would have been five, let's see, 5 and 9 years old.
Oh,
okay?
That sounds perfect.
So it's like,
yeah,
it's that kind of song, and you know, it kind of sounds like a kid's song or whatever,
a little bit,
very accessible kind of thing. But also just that notion of fireflies is very appealing, right? So you're talking about cockroaches and giving that kind of icky feeling, right? But fireflies sort of represent sort of the wonder of nature, right?
Yeah.
The idea that this exists, that there would just be light sort of floating around in the dark, you know, sky, the dark air, right?
Yeah.
You know, is really
in
an amazing sort of thing,
right?
And it's a it's a great image, and it sort of makes you think about the kind of wonder of nature, right? And all of that kind of stuff, right? So I've just always really liked this song. I mean, I think it's a nice little song anyway, but because of the kids' connection, I just always really liked this. It was the kind of song, you know, we'd listen to it in the car, driving around or whatever.
Yeah.
They enjoyed it, and they could sing it, and they probably know every word of the song now, you know what I mean? So,
well, and, you know, that's so cool, Jim, because that, I mean, it's just such an image that's connected with your childhood. You're so fascinated by how can this bug light up, and it looks like what we now think of as a glow stick, but it's an actual insect. It's still, you know.
Where's
like,
the battery?
Exactly.
Where's
how
it doesn't make any sense.
This? Yeah.
And I like that the song also mentions the other name, which is what we used to call them in Ohio, which is lightning bugs.
Lightning bugs, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what we used to call them, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. And it's a great song for summertime, too. And
yeah.
Wow, that was the number one hit. That's amazing. It's like the time Snow Patrol had that number one hit and I wasn't looking. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Great. Great pick. I'm looking forward to what you also picked. I want to say a couple things. I think we both talked about, Human Fly, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a song. Yeah, it's pretty well known. There's I'm a Bug by the Urinals, one of my favorites. And Mayfly by Belle and Sebastian. It's a really delicate song that I like a lot. And also, I thought of Earwig. Mog Earwig by Guided by Voices. They have an album called Mog Earwig. And I also thought, like, an exercise like this, Jim, I don't know if we'll do this. Maybe it's for somebody else's podcast. But maybe you could come up with a theme and see how many Guided by Voices songs you could probably get pretty close,
fits just about any topic,
Pick something random, basketball, insects, dogs, you'll probably find something. But the song I want to play is Blues Song, and we don't play a ton of blues on our show, but it's an old song. It's called Boll Weevil Blues, and it's by Charlie Patton. Recorded June 14, 1929 in Richmond, Indiana, of all places.
Mississippi's gonna get a loo down ahead, Lord. Boy, we'll settle for one. They ain't got chicken fat, Lord. Fire that boy. Suck all the blouse of it and leave you a happy square, Lord. And next time I see you, I had your family there.
There it is, Jim, and that was Charlie Patton, the world-famous blues, country blues, Delta blues pioneer, and you made an important clarification. I should correct that. That song was not Boll Weevil. That was Mississippi Boll Weevil Blues, and I'm reading here, as early as 1908, Charlie Patton wrote a song called Mississippi Boll Weevil Blues and recorded it in July 29. Now, the most famous version of Boll Weevil is actually recorded in 1934 by Lead Belly. So it's a slightly different song.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I guess most importantly, what is a Boll Weevil? It's a kind of a bug, an insect that apparently came from Mexico up into the American South and destroyed a lot of the cotton crops.
It would wipe out the cotton crops.
That's why there were a lot of songs about it.
It was a severe pest that would mess with people's livelihoods,
right? Exactly, yeah. right. And so I guess that's why many people wrote songs about it. Apparently Ma Rainey also recorded a song called Bo Weevil, too. So, but I will say this. One reason I got into Charlie Patton, I know we haven't talked about the blues a lot, is because one of my heroes, John Fahey, actually got his master's degree in folklore from UCLA in the 1960s, and he wrote his thesis on Charlie Patton. In 1966, he did. And then in 1970, it was published as a book by an English publisher. And that was like supposed to be the definitive book on Charlie Patton.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's included in a box set of Charlie Patton that the label Fahey started, Revenant Records, put out, I think, around 2001, 2002, something like that. So you can find the entire thesis in there if you're so inclined.
So when you said you were going to do an old blues song.
Yeah.
Here's where my mind went.
Okay.
I'm a King Bee.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I thought of that. Yeah. And I actually had to look up who did that originally. That was Slim Harpo.
Slim Harpo.
1957. Right. But, of course, famously covered by the Rolling Stones.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And was like the first... sort of like the precursor of the Blues Brothers on Saturday Night Live. Do you remember when John Belushi and they used to do the bees sketch?
Oh, yeah, that's
They
right.
did one time where they came out in the bee costumes and just sang like pretty seriously, yeah. like sincerely, I'm a king bee. And that was the joke, right?
Just the ridiculousness of Belushi in that outfit. Yeah.
Yes, but then that apparently led to the Blues Brothers because they did that blues song and all of that.
Okay.
And it was sort of like...
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating.
But the first time they were in the bee suits. Yeah. So I'm a king bee. Okay.
Amazing. I'm a king bee, baby.
So a couple of others I thought of. Okay. You were talking about... I immediately thought of... did you say Human Fly? You said Human Fly, right? The Cramps.
Yeah.
That was my first one. But I remember picking that as a Halloween song when we did Halloween songs...
That has been played on our show, yep.
Then I thought of I Am the Fly
by Wire. Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yep.
That's a good one.
Fly in the ointment.
Yeah. and then I thought of The Fly, which was a U2 song.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of all these things. But the first song, the first insect song that I thought of, and you've already mentioned it here, but I wanted to do it because I thought it would give us a good opportunity to talk a little bit about this artist that I don't think we've ever...
Okay.
Really discussed, at least not to my recollection on this show. So, and it's just a good jam to sort of end this episode with. So
right.
Here we go. All right, there you go. That's Ant Music by Adam and the Ants.
Yeah.
From 1980,
yeah.
The Kings of the Wild Frontier album.
Yep.
Now, I don't know that we've ever really talked about Adam and the Ants, right? I don't think we have,
no.
But I find him to be a pretty interesting artist.
Very interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when you read about his background, there were like, well, first off, let me just say why I find him interesting. I think, you know, he came up in that UK late 70s sort of punk scene.
He did.
But his music was different than what a lot of others were doing. And part of the reason why I like this song, Ant Music, it's kind of like a theme song, right, for
yeah.
the band, right?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
This is what we're about.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear the rhythm. Like,
yeah.
It's all about the rhythm in his stuff. And it's somewhat sparse. You don't hear a lot of guitar or
yeah.
anything like that. It wasn't like other punk bands. It was all about the drumming and the beat.
That's
and
right.
They had some interesting percussion that they would put in there, you know, types of drums, things like that. I just find it really kind of fascinating. It almost sounds, it really sounds, I think, kind of fresh today because it sounds so different from what was going on at the time, right?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And, of course, from like MTV, had Goody Two Shoes was like the big hit. And my sister, my younger sister, was a big fan of Adam Ant, right? You know, he had that sort of appeal,
He did. He had those movie star good looks.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I remember her having the album, and I remember me at that age sort of dismissing him and being like, ah, that's a band for girls, right? You know, kind of the same way I did with Duran Duran.
Right.
Like, yeah, whatever, you know, that was another one of her favorites, right? That now I like.
Yeah.
But later on, you know, sort of learning more and listening more of their music, I think it's really pretty cool.
Yeah.
And do you know he, I didn't even know this, he started in a band with Leicester Square.
I did know that.
Yes.
Later on, I learned that.
He also was in the band that the Sex Pistols opened for originally.
Exactly.
Like all this. Yeah, he was right there at like ground zero where this stuff happened.
And
right?
He acted in an early punk film, too, and a lot of that stuff. He really was. He was one of those main people. And I think what you said is so interesting. He never sort of followed the punk style musically, and because of that, punks derided him early on for not playing, you know, what everybody else was doing, three chords and the truth and loud and fast and all that.
Right.
And he was doing his own thing the whole time. And it's very, very interesting.
Totally.
Yeah, and it does hold up. I think it's so much more interesting than going back to listen to some of those early bands, you know, like Slaughter and the Dogs or 999 or any of those kind of early bands where you'd just be like, well, you know, it sounds
like
dated.
We get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, and he had association with Malcolm McLaren.
That's right.
Right. And the way he dressed and everything was so different
was
and unusual and very sort of theatrical and everything. Right. Yeah. Like he wanted to be. He had a vision, I guess, and he wanted to be a certain kind of performer, like you said, and it maybe didn't fit with that scene.
Right.
But yet, it kind of did in the sense of like him being adventurous and wanted to kind of set his own course.
I mean, when you think about how early he was marrying African rhythms, spare African drumming to guitars and other kinds of music. I mean, that was, it almost sounds like Graceland when you listen to it, like
that's what I think.
20 years ahead of time now. It's pretty amazing.
It's really cool. Yeah. And there's also two different versions of the Ants, right? So there was like the first lineup, which eventually became Bow Wow Wow.
That's right. Yeah, it was kind of
which you can hear
away
that
by McLaren. Yeah,
which you can hear that too. Mm-hmm. You know, again with the drumming and that sort of thing.
Yep.
And then there was a new. Then he brought in a new band that's on this album on Kings of the Wild Frontier is the second version of the Ants, and then later he just became Adam Ant.
Right.
And went off solo.
Yep.
And I think a couple guys stayed with him or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's all. It's all part of an arc, I think. You know, it all sort of fits together.
It would be interesting to do, you know, go a little deeper into his stuff because I think it's really, really interesting. And, you know, like you said, I think I'm pretty sure it was Malcolm McLaren that kind of stole away his backing band.
Yes.
You know, and they Bow Wow Wow had that same look kind of a little bit with the Mohawks.
Yes.
Almost like an American, you know, Native American influence was part of his music too.
Yes.
And I remember I used to love the show. Gosh, I can't believe I'm blanking on it now. So it was set in Alaska and the Doctor.
Northern Exposure?
Northern Exposure, yeah. I used to like that show. And there was an episode where Adam Ant was on it, and he parodied. He was playing himself. And he was supposed to be this famous musician that came, and he wanted to play with, like, the Native Alaskan musicians. And they wouldn't let him play because I remember this line very clearly. They said, "You're a pebble. We're stones and you're just a
pebble."
Funny. And Adam Ant was all, you know, bummed out and he couldn't play with him.
He doesn't have as big of a profile these days as
it's,
as others
it's a real
and what
interesting
you might expect,
story.
You know, because he was this song
I love it is
one of them that was a big hit in England, apparently went to number 2 on the UK chart, and it also charted pretty highly in other countries, not so much in the US. I think he had trouble breaking into the U.S., Goody Two Shoes aside, but he was a big star in the
U.K.,
right? I think he had several hits there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he came along at a perfect time when videos were starting to hit and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I haven't done it in a long time, but I do believe somewhere in my collection I have a copy of his debut album, Dirk Wears White Socks, which is an interesting record. I got to go back and listen to it. I don't know what it sounds like, but I do believe it's in there somewhere.
Well, anyway, so there you go. Yeah. Ant music. All right.
You've opened up a whole ant hill.
All right.
Very cool pick.
And also, there was a cartoon called Adam Ant.
I think it was, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm.
He was a small guy, wore a helmet. I think he had an A on his helmet or something.
Yeah, it was like a superhero or something, or I don't know. So as a kid, I was always, like, intrigued by that. There's an Adam Ant, and there's an Adam Ant.
Yeah.
That's right.
It was Adam, like the atom bomb.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or the molecule.
Okay, let's get out of here.
Yes, because I'm still talking.
I think now we're gonna do a couple of fan mail episodes.
be fun
the rest of the week, and we're gonna open up some packages.
Yeah.
That we have here, many packages that have collected in our time apart.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Time to get to those. All right.
Yep.
Okay. Well, this was fun. If anybody has insect songs, call and leave a message 612-440-1984 or email rock@suburbspod.com or comment on our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. @SuburbsPod. All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you all tomorrow.
You know, I'm not sure what a mayfly is, but I would imagine it's some sort of flying thing.